Andrea from Lemoore, California, and you're watching Gospel Tangents, your best source for Mormon history, science, and theology.
I'm Rick Bennett. Last time I talked with Dr. John Conrad, we discussed the story of Abraham and the sacrifice of Isaac. We're going to talk more about Abraham and talk about polygamy in our next conversation with the leader of the House of Aaron. John Conrad is the chief high priest, and we'll ask him about other issues such as LGBT issues and gay marriage. How does the House of Aaron feel about that? Check out our conversation. A couple other things that, because you said you believe the New Testament from the beginning to the end, or from the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament. Marriage has changed quite a bit. Abraham had multiple wives.
Well, he kind of did. I mean, really, it's a hard thing to figure out, you know. He had a wife, and then he had a handmaiden, and I think there's a place that it calls Hagar.
Yeah, his concubine, wife. I think, yeah.
Yeah, and it certainly could call her a concubine. Now, you see.
But Moses had multiple wives, right?
Well, you know, that's another debate.
David, Solomon.
Well, David and Solomon, there's no debate. David had 10 wives and what, 25 concubines, and Solomon just 700 and 300.
Right. So, you know, that obviously in Mormonism, polygamy is a big deal. And so where do you stand on that?
Yeah, Mormonism is a puzzle to me on polygamy. The strongest scripture I've ever read against polygamy is in the Book of Mormon.
I know. It's in Jacob.
Yeah. I read that and I thought, I agree with this. This works for me. It calls it an
so
abomination.
That's the Book of Mormon scripture you like.
Oh, I witness to it. I think it's true. I do not think all polygamists are abominations because I know a lot of polygamists.
Uh-huh.
I mean, living in this valley you bump in, there's some fine people. Polygamy is not good. It's harmful to the husband-wife relationship. It's very harmful to the children, because when you look at one of the things that were promised, and in fact, a defining characteristic of Christianity and Judaism that's different from the rest of the world, is that you're made in God's image. That there's something about you that reflects your parent. I mean, just like if you've got kids, I know I've got kids, you can see yourself in your kids. There's a stamp. Well, God's stamp is in us. And one of the names of God is jealous. He didn't want Israel chasing after other gods. And what's more, he got angry. I can't believe that we could be in God's image and share something that belongs in one relationship. Again, I'm not condemning all polygamists. I don't think polygamy is his best. And I think in the new covenant, you know, he comes back for one bride.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, because I've been around polygamy, I've seen the pain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know a couple that had a really good marriage. They were polygamists, and they had always agreed at some point that the husband would take another wife, and they came to that point, and he married another woman. And the first wife was not prepared for the damage.
Right.
It just, listen. That marriage relationship is, it's a pretty strong edifice that's built around it. In fact, we all know, we've all seen what happens when people step out of it, and the hurt. And so I believe that if we're made in God's image and he doesn't want to share his affection, I do not think that my wife should have to deal with trying how to be at peace with me being with another woman.
Well, what about Abraham, Moses, Solomon?
Oh yeah, I mean they're all there. Abraham did plenty of things I don't like. I mean, how about when he went to Egypt and he told the Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister?
Right.
And then Pharaoh comes and takes her to put him in his harem. It was God that stood up for Abraham, not Abraham. He stood up for Sarah, and the Bible, I see polygamy as really, and of course no analogy is perfect, but it's very similar to slavery. It was there. God recognized it. And when you look at what God says happens in slavery in the Old Testament, it's the most elevated view of slavery anywhere in the Old World. But it doesn't mean that we should continue slavery. In fact, when you look at the ultimate promise, both Old and New Testament, it's that man would be free. He would have liberty. Mm-hmm. And so the Torah mentions some rules about polygamy. I had no question that the patriarchs lived it. And I know a fellow right now that's living polygamy that asked me the same question. Well, are you going to look at the great renewal of all things when we gather around the table? Are you going to allow Jacob there? And of course, I don't let people in and out. But I think there are things in the New Covenant that I think change behavior beyond what you saw in the Old Covenant. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you even look at Jews today, they don't countenance polygamy, and they believe every word of the Torah. A lot of these scholars, they can quote every word. They're not living polygamy. They don't think that's what the Father wants. And I know this is a difficult issue for the LDS, because I think it's Doctrine and Covenants 132 that talks about polygamy is necessary for exaltation. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's not my fight. I can just freely share. I don't like it. I don't think it's healthy.
Even think it was healthy in Abraham's case.
Of course it wasn't.
Yeah.
Would you like I've given several messages on what polygamy did.
Uh-huh.
Can I move myself here?
There we go.
One of the classic things I've done is teachings on the sons of Jacob and his four wives. Have you ever seen a more dysfunctional household?
Exactly.
Because Leah wanted Jacob to love her, and Rachel wanted to have children. And so they both looked at Jacob to meet a need that only God can. And he became this pawn in this contest. And even the names of the sons, Reuben, see a son. Simeon or Shimon, here, the Lord's heard me. Mm-hmm. Levi, now I'm joined to my husband. Every one of those names was moving a chess piece to see who could win the game. Mm-hmm. Families don't work that way. Healthy families love each other. And this all came to head when they sold Joseph into slavery. They hated his guts because he was the son of the favored woman. And his dad showered all his blessing on him. Anybody that's been raised in a family or has raised a family or both, to the extent God gives you grace, you love them all the same. And polygamy is not healthy.
It's a cannibal.
And I completely agree with you. It wasn't good for Abraham, Jacob. Well, look at Solomon. It destroyed his kingship.
Right, right. Well, since we're on marriage, and the big hot topic is, well, I guess it's kind of died down a little bit, but LGBT marriage, what do you think about that?
It would not happen in the house of Aaron. I don't know that it's my job to tell secular society what to do. And I think that becomes kind of dangerous to be telling people what to do. But here's the problem. And I know this is a very sensitive subject with LDS and with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And some of my family is very much on the pro-LGBT. But where we believe the Word of God, women marrying women and men marrying men, it produces a union with no fruit. Now, I admit that there are times men and women are unable. Abraham and Sarah are a good example.
Right.
But on the other hand, I can't square it with the Word of God. It doesn't mean I don't love them. It doesn't mean I don't think they have a voice at the table. But here's an interesting thing. Since we've opened the door to it, where's it going to end? Where is it going to end? We are now being asked to believe what somebody thinks over what God made them. And I'm a bigot if I say, no matter what you do to yourself, no matter what hormones you give yourself, you're a woman or you're a man. God made that decision. I'm not going to tell you how to live that out, but you're asking me to go along with you in a charade, in a pretense that's unhealthy for both of us. And it's to the point now, if I said this some places, I'd be in trouble. And all I'm saying is there are 23 pairs of chromosomes, 22 are the same. On the 23rd, there's an X and an X and a woman, and there's an X and a Y and a man. There are some exceptions, and I'm all for helping those people get along, no judgment. But you're asking me to change what God did. And one of the first things I think we find out is joy comes in being everything God made you. And I find this one of the hardest things the church faces right now.
Your church.
Every church.
Every church.
Those who believe in the Lord, because we have not treated with love. We've been cruel. I mean, our response to homosexuality, lesbians, all the rest has been horrifying in many cases. But now we're going to fix it by bending the word. I don't think that's good either. And I think what's happening now, I wish I had the answers, but I find it interesting that some of those who work so hard to see women's rights advanced are now buying into something that destroys women's rights. What's happening in the LGBTQ thing is going to ruin women's sports.
Women's sports? Why is that?
Because how can women compete with women who have a Y chromosome? They can't. Wrestling, weightlifting, how many records are being won by people? You have these women who've worked all their life to attain a level of performance. They're the best women in the world. And now we take this guy who says he feels like a woman, put a plastic stamp on him and say he's a woman. Have you seen what our society did in censuring people who said they were Native American and they weren't? Or the lady who said she was black and she wasn't? We just came down on them like a ton of bricks. You can't do that. That's cultural appropriation. But no, I can say that I'm a woman. No, I can't. If you want to say transgender woman, that's fine. But to say you're a woman, unless you have two X chromosomes, you're not. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Doesn't mean I would allow you to express yourself in any way you want. But I balk at the idea that thinking changes facts. It's a terrifying road we're on right now.
Interesting. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. John Conrad. In our next conversation, I asked John how he looks at the Book of Mormon.
I'm always so careful to say I don't believe in it. I don't completely accept it as scripture.
Okay.
I don't think it was written by the devil.
Okay.
I don't know if you can...
What about 132? If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents for just $5 a month. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/gospeltangents. If you'd like to watch the entire video, you can subscribe at YouTube, Patreon, or on my website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button for just $8 a month. PDF transcripts are just $10 a month, and you can get those on patreon.com/gospeltangents or on my website. I'll send those to you as soon as I've finished completing it. If you'd like to get a paperback and PDF, just subscribe for $20 a month at either Patreon or on my website. Individual paperbacks are available at amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can find all of our past interviews there. Show your Gospel Tangents pride by purchasing a t-shirt on our website at gospeltangents.com/shop. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. You can get our latest updates by friending me at Facebook, or you can also follow our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Become an insider and you can see the newest videos. Follow us on Twitter at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.